We know there's no NFL offseason. The draft kind of starts after Goodell hands out the Lombardi Trophy. Our guest is a first-timer, does some terrific work, provides a ton of great information for thedraftnetwork.com. His Twitter handle, follow along, at underscore Ryan Fowler. Ryan, great having you. How's life back in the 703?
It's going well. Ready to get this thing going. It's been a long pre-draft process. Appreciate the intro, Steve, and excited to talk ball here with you.
So I see you're a George Mason grad, and I found it interesting because the NCAA tournament had an 11 seed in North Carolina State in the Final Four. So how long do you have to be on campus before you're reminded about that 2006 run under Jim Larrañaga where they knocked off UConn to make the Final Four?
Oh, man, that and the whole DMV area, really, the whole 703, I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing a Mason logo and saying, you know, hey, do you remember that run and you know before the 2010s and just that – that magical March Madness run that seemingly, it doesn't happen every year, but we love seeing those 11, 12, 13 seeds, or even the last few years, right, when we've seen the UMBCs of the world upset those one seeds. It's always a fun topic around the DMV area, for sure.
Yeah, I know, because in my typical luck, I had UConn winning it all that year. So
right.
I shan't forget that one. So, Ryan, as a first-time guest, we have a routine. Just for example, I became a sports nut. I was raised in North Jersey. Put it this way, Joe Namath was the quarterback of the Jets, championship Knicks. So you, where are you from, and who would you say were like the teams or players that first kind of ignited your love for sports so much that you decided this is a way you want to pursue earning a living?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in the Northern Virginia area, about 30 minutes south of D.C., so my fandom really growing up was all D.C. sports. So at the time, you know, it was the Redskins, not the Commanders. It's the Wizards, it's the Capitals, and the Nationals. And I still obviously follow all four of those teams. I used to work for the Washington Redskins for a few years back, and then now been with the Draft Network and as well with Bleacher Report here for the last 2 years, covering the draft in all angles as well. So, but really, my sports fandom really started with the likes of Sean Taylor back in the 2000s. He, to this day, remains my favorite athlete. And unfortunately, obviously, what happened to him in 07, and wish we could have seen what his career would have been as a hell of an athlete and hell of a football player out of Miami. But he really kicked off really my love for sports, and I was gracious enough to play Division I baseball and knew that, hey, if I wasn't able to make it to the majors in baseball, I wanted to stay in sports, and journalism was that route for me.
Well, What a time, by the way. You saw the Nats win a series. You saw Ovi get his cup. Actually, I need to rethink this, Ryan. As a Rangers fan, I'm not sure we should be talking right now.
Right. You're right. Only one game in, right? One game in.
Of course. All right, so moving to the draft as we continue with the Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network, I've got J.J. McCarthy as like my 2024 enigma, because we saw Michigan at times, you know, they would prefer to kind of lean away from him on Blake Corum and their defense. Yet since they beat Washington, his value seems to just be skyrocketing. What's your read on his game going forward and where he might land?
Yeah, when we went into the combine, that was really where you get everybody that's anybody in the NFL industry inside that one bubble that is Indianapolis. And the main thing with for my conversations that I had in those late nights, early morning at the combine are wherever you have J.J. McCarthy on your board, whether it's at 10 or 15, move him up. And as we sit here, 72 hours away from this thing, I expect him to be a top five pick when this thing is set and done. Now, for me, if I was a GM, I want a guy in the top five that is going to be able to mask some inefficiencies of what I have on offense, whether that's my front five and they're not great pass protectors or on the outside and having the arm talent to be able to throw receivers open. I don't see that immediately right now from J.J. McCarthy. I think he's more along that Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith type of efficiency game manager role, which I'm not going to hate on. I'm fine with that role. I just wouldn't take a guy like that right now in the top 10 because when I look at Caleb Williams, I look at Drake May, and I look at Jaden Daniels, I think those are three guys immediately that I think can mask inefficiencies of an offense and elevate everybody around him. So for JJ, again, do expect him to be a top five pick. I fully expect Minnesota to make a move up and be aggressive. Whether they can get Minnesota out of four, whether they could get New England out of three, we will see. But I fully expect him to be a top five pick lock here when we get to Thursday. And I would not be shocked, Steve, as well, if we get four quarterbacks off the board in the first four selections here on Thursday night when we get to Detroit.
Yeah, history pending. All right, since I'm in Eugene, we got to get to some Ducks. Bo Nix got here prior to 2022, and I'm telling you, there was zero fanfare. More questions about how he played at Auburn. 2 years later, he's like one of the all-time favorite Ducks like ever. It's unbelievable. I'm usually skeptical about quarterbacks playing on Sunday, so your evaluation of Bo, his prospects, and you know where he might land.
I'll say this. I think Bo Nix, for me, I'm higher on than the rest of the industry. And the reason why I say that is because we want these guys that have the big arm like a Caleb Williams or look the part like a Drake May or have the dynamic outside ability of a Jaden Daniels of the world. But it goes overlooked to guys that are just good football players, mature, efficient, accurate, be able to dissect a playbook, come into a huddle, relay the play. And as they work the line of scrimmage, understand where the safeties are. Where is that Mike linebacker? What are guys doing on the outside? Are they playing man? Are they playing zone? And really for me with Bo Nix, to where great it was seeing him throw to Tez Johnson and Troy Franklin, of course, using Bucky Irving in space was great to see. But really when I saw him live at the Senior Bowl, we're in a neutral environment with neutral receivers in a neutral playbook, to where he's dissecting guys on the second, third day of practice, where he finally developed some rapport with guys in that low red zone 7-on-7 drills, to where it's just he's never worked with guys before, and that's what you're going to have at the NFL level. Winning within those shallow to intermediate areas, I think, is what Bo Nix does well. Now, I will say this, and that it is going to be interesting how the NFL and those teams post-top 10, right, those Denvers of the world, New Orleans, those types of teams, Las Vegas, are they going to evaluate Bo as a guy they want to take in a top 15 because he can elevate the offense? Because you're balancing that game manager type of role where also you want to say to Bo, hey, we want you to push it down the field maybe just a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it's crazy because, Steve, look, Bo Nix had more targets 10-plus yards down the field than Jaden Daniels did this year, and he had more touchdowns 10-plus yards down the field on targets than Michael Penix at Washington. So that's even a narrative that goes overlooked. But for me, Bo Nix is a first-round quarterback. I just think he's going a little bit overlooked. There's some prospect fatigue on him because he is so darn mature. He doesn't have the biggest arm in the class. He's not the best athlete. He's just going to be someone that's going to lead an offense right away. And if I'm a GM, I'm okay with that right away.
Talking with Ryan Fowler, thedraftnetwork.com. A year ago, I referred to Troy Franklin as a pending lethal weapon as a wideout. Yeah. Now, I've been in Eugene 34 years. He's the best receiver Oregon's had, except no Duck wideouts ever become special in the NFL. Now, he's 170 pounds, but he's got a kind of a physical edge to him. He fights for the ball. What's your draft network read on Troy?
Yeah, for Troy, I think there's some things to work on. I think the physicality, I think the separation inside the contact window, because guys are going to press him right away. It's really an issue with me for some of these top receivers in the class as far as seeing consistent free releases. I have that issue with Brian Thomas Jr. as well at LSU, and he's really in that bucket for me right alongside Troy, to where I don't have first-round grades on those guys. I have second-round grades on both Troy and Brian Thomas, but when I watch Troy, I know there's a lot of comparisons out there to the Chris Olaves of the world. I more so see him as a better route runner than in a similar skill set to what Jalin Hyatt was asked to do at Tennessee, and then also what we saw him do for New York this year in his rookie season. I think Troy is a better fundamental football player than him, but it's just the small things in his game. You mentioned the weight. He's not the heaviest guy in the world. He's not going to be the most physical, but he's an excellent route runner. I love his footwork. I love his ability to go up and pluck it in the air. He's got excellent body control. And then he's going to be someone as well that in today's game where you want to expand a playbook and also be a further extension of the run game and designated touches. He's excellent in separating on those rhythm timing throws over the middle of the field, whether it's a first and 10 or a third and two, and you got to move the sticks. I think it's going to be a guy that Troy is going to develop in that type of role, but the physicality and really the separation against press man is going to be something that he's going to have to work on quickly at the NFL level, Steve, because I do expect him to be a high-level wide receiver too immediately for an offense, really wherever he goes.
let's get to JPJ, Jaxson Powers-Johnson, who, for those who aren't familiar with him, he might be worth the pick for the personality and sound bites. And one thing I like about him, he likes to put defenders in the dirt. He gets to the second level, of course, decorated as a Remington Award winner. What about his game transferring to Sundays and a possible destination?
Yeah, I think first things first is the athleticism and the versatility. Versatility is king in the NFL. It really doesn't matter really what position you play. The versatility to do both. I mean, he can play center and be an immediate type of Pro Bowl ceiling at the position. He can slide over and be a bumper at guard if you have to. And I don't think you're going to be taking anything away from him as far as saying, hey, we want you at guard instead of center. But if a team is drafting him in the 20s to where I know there's been some prospect fatigue on him post-Senior Bowl as far as he came out of that as a day one lock, I would not be surprised if he goes as high as a Dallas at 24, and I also wouldn't be surprised if he sneaks into that mid-30s, high 30s early in the second round. But I think when you watch Jaxson Powers-Johnson, you mentioned the nastiness, the physicality, getting to the second level. He's going to be a guy, you don't see a lot of offenses have that ability to pull their centers and really be creative in the run game. He's going to allow an offense to do that. And then you mentioned just the nastiness to throw guys to the dirt, steal their lunch money, if you will, and let them know about it. I like that in offensive linemen. That's a little bit of a throwback type of approach. And you look across the league as far as the makeup of offensive line coaches, they're older guys. They're guys that flat out want to win within the trenches. And today's day and age, Steve, as you know, everyone wants to get super sexy, right, on the outside with skill players. But at the end of the day, football's won in the trenches on offense and on defense. And I think Jaxson, to where he's not going to get a ton of attention like the Caleb Williams types of picks are, or a Xavier Leggett or a Keon Coleman, but he's going to be someone that raises your performance ceiling in the run game, in the pass game, and ultimately boosts your front five and hopefully boosts an entire offense to where your ultimate goal is winning a Lombardi Trophy for an organization.
By the way, I heard you mention the Cowboys, and my first thought was there's a Commanders fan there, a Giants fan here. At least we can unite in our contempt for the Cowboys, right?
Absolutely, always.
A few final thoughts for Ryan Fowler, thedraftnetwork.com. Around here, I need to say Rome Odunze low, because in two games against the Ducks this past year, he had 16 catches for 240, two touchdowns, two wins. I don't know there's a box he doesn't check. Logic says, aside from Marvin Harrison, he's right there as the top gun. What's your read on the, I'm going to call him the Husky money man, and where he might go?
Yeah, I fully expect Rome to be a top 10 pick in this draft, whether that's maybe he goes to New York and they like him better than Malik Nabers, or if the Chargers don't go Nabers and they go Joe Walt, we'll see what happens, and he goes to Chicago at 9, or New York loves him at 10. I think Rome is a sensational football player. He's everything that you want. Also, as a young man, he's going to be someone that comes in, brings his lunch pail to work every single day. He looks the part at 6'3", 210. He can fly at 4'4", 5". He's got length. He's got route running. The separation is going to translate. I mean, I really can't say enough good things about Rome. And it's amazing how deep, Steve, that this wide receiver class is, to where Harrison, Nabers, and Odunze at the top, there is a drop-off to that quote-unquote tier two, where you may see 5 to 7 guys come off the board in the next 15 to 20 picks early on day two. But I think Rome is a top 10 lock for me in this class, a wide receiver one at the next level. And I just think he's someone that is, I'm not going to parallel him right now to just the athleticism and skill set of Marvin Harrison Jr. or what I believe what Malik is. But that 1-2-3 bucket, depends on what team you talk to, it could differ between Rome first or Malik first or Marvin first. You could just throw a dartboard and hit on either of these three guys. I think Rome's an outstanding football player and just a hell of a young man that you want in your locker room for the next decade.
So who's a guy that you have in the first round who's not getting all the love, whose name doesn't pop off on every conversation, but you're kind of thinking, man, that fan base is going to be in for a treat because this guy is going to be terrific?
Yeah, I'll even say two guys, Steve. The first guy is Xavier Leggett, receiver from South Carolina. That he's in that tier two bucket right now. I'm interested to see how teams evaluate him and Adonai Mitchell from Texas and Keon Coleman from Florida State and in that bucket for me. But I think if he goes to a Kansas City at 32 or Buffalo really likes him to be that three-level threat, I really do like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. But a name that I think doesn't get enough attention, I've put him in my first-round mocks here over these last few weeks, and that's Braden Fisk interior defensive lineman from Florida State that transferred in from Western Michigan. Now, there are some length concerns with him, but when I see explosiveness on the interior, watched him at the Senior Bowl live, the way he moves at damn near 300 pounds is going to be a nightmare to block isolated, and that means that he's going to draw double teams right away within the interior. And he's not a guy I'm worried about playing on rundowns and also the motor to what we've seen the concerns with Philly as far as what they've had with Jordan Davis out of Georgia. So Braden Fisk, potentially to a Minnesota in the first round or the later portions of the first round, is a name that I really like. And also Darius Robinson, of course, from Missouri, who's planning to be at the draft in Detroit on Thursday night, a name that continues to pop up as far as that inside-out, versatile, some of the heaviest hands in this class from a loaded Missouri Tigers defense this year.
And lastly, I'm selfish. I got to talk about the Giants. They gave big bucks to Daniel Jones. But even so, this year, it's a big cap hit. It's not like he's going anywhere. Then they got to decide if he needs protection, a beast on the outside, or if they're going to pick his replacement. At six, what do you think the play is for the G-men?
Yeah, look, if they stay at six, I think it's a receiver. I think you take a Malik Nabers, or I think you take a Romeo Dunze. I really do. However, I've heard a lot of conversations here over these last few days and really today as well that they're trying to move up. How far they move up, I do not know yet, but I have heard conversations, and there's some rumblings that they are trying to move up. And I credit Joe Shane as far as saying, look, I know we paid Daniel Jones last year, but if he's not our guy, he's not our guy, and I'm going to try and go and get our guy for our franchise, because at the end of the day, either you got a guy or you're looking for that individual to lead your team under center. So, again, they stay at six. I think it's a Romeo Dunze. I think it's a Malik Nabers to get the most talented receiver in the building since Odell Beckham Jr. fundamentally. But if they do move up potentially, then they're going to move up for a quarterback.
Folks, he's Ryan Fowler. Just so much good information. Outstanding coverage. Check out thedraftnetwork.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle @_RyanFowler. Ryan, greatly appreciate your time. You be well. Enjoy the madness of the draft, and look forward to talking again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.